You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to another edition of Locked On Pelicans, a winning edition of Locked On Pelicans as the Pels dispatched the Lakers 105-88 in pretty dominant fashion. They took a lead in the first quarter, never looked back. If you listened to the podcast yesterday, I was not expecting this result. I think that's safe to say in the least. But a fun one for Pelicans fans, a nice win, get a little bit of revenge. The last time the Pelicans lost at home, 5 games ago against the Lakers, where they just quit on Alvin Gentry after Davis went out injured. Well, if you guys didn't watch the game, I can tell you Davis did not go out injured. He had a big game. We're certainly going to talk about this. But a nice win for the Pelicans overall. You know, that Lakers team was 9-9 going into this, in the eighth spot for the in the Western Conference in the playoff race, and a team that looks like they're probably going to make the playoffs, especially with, you know, divisional news of the day, let's call it. Mike Conley for the Memphis Grizzlies is actually going to be out for minimum 6 weeks with a fracture in his vertebrae. He was playing very, very well for them. But the Lakers look like they'd be fighting for a playoff spot. With this kind of new roster, the young Lakers, baby Lakers, people have been calling them under first-year head coach Luke Walton. But Pelicans came out and were just, nah, this isn't going to happen. And they took care of business tonight in, like I said, dominant fashion. Took the lead within the first 6 minutes of the game, never looked back, wire-to-wire win. They were up by like 25 at one point, just absolutely brutal to this team. Rebounded well after that loss to the Mavs. So today's podcast certainly going to be devoted to that. An exciting win overall. So it's 5 straight wins at home for the Pelicans now after they, you know, obviously started off 0 and however many there. Nice to see them defending home court overall. Good job for the Pelicans. This is one they should be happy about. The energy level was high. This is what we're talking about in Locked On Pelicans today. Don't forget, Locked On Pelicans and I, your host, Jake Madison, at Nola Jake on Twitter. Only podcast coming to you guys 5 days a week, delivering this kind of insight, info, analysis devoted to your favorite team, the New Orleans Pelicans. Whether you're listening on your drive to work, your drive home from work, in the shower, your run after work while you're exercising, or just dealing from the kids and want to get away from everything. You know, you want to make sure you're getting the podcast on a daily basis. So please subscribe on iTunes, on Audio Boom. Like it on Facebook, on you can like it and rate it 5 stars. Please 5 stars on iTunes. Share it on Twitter. Tell your friends about it. Anyone who's a Pelicans fan, they're not going to get this type of analysis anywhere else. I promise you guys, 5 days a week, 6 a.m., that's when these come out. I want you guys to have it early in the morning. Get you ready for your day. Get you ready for the game at night, or break down what happened and why the Pelicans hopefully won, as they did, you know, last night against the Los Angeles Lakers. And we can have fun, happy podcasts. But hey, if they lose, we're going to tell you why. I'm going to break it down for you in a way you're not getting anywhere else. So please, you know, let's keep this going. It's been a lot of fun to do. I'm happy to do this. It's been my pleasure. Thank you all so much for listening. All right, so this 105-88 victory for the Pelicans, their 5th straight at home. Last time they lost, like I said, against the Los Angeles Lakers a couple weeks ago. Very good win for the Pelicans. They raced out to an early 9-point lead about 6 minutes into the game. Never really looked back whatsoever. If you look at it by the quarter, the Pelicans led 33-22 after the first. In the second quarter, they piled it on even more. 32-19 in that quarter. They won the third quarter as well, 24-22, before the Lakers finally won the fourth quarter, 25-16, due to some just really bad offense by the Pelicans towards the end of the game when it ultimately didn't matter. They went a little bit away from Anthony Davis at times. There were about three or four possessions in a row where they didn't even get him the ball. Didn't matter at that point. The only thing he had left to play for was to make sure he went over 40, which he eventually did. But overall, just dominant effort by the Pelicans. I was a little bit worried after that Mavs loss, where they looked really flat. They didn't really respond to the Mavs' physical style of play. And Alvin Gentry did his job. He coached this team up. They came out firing. They were aggressive on the rebounds. You know, they weren't going to lose this one. You could kind of see it with the way they started the game. They shot well overall compared to the Lakers, who didn't shoot as well as they did. But overall, it was more the physicality, them just wanting it more. And that was wonderful to see from the Pelicans. They've lacked that at times. You know, they shot 43.2% on the night. That dipped some in that fourth quarter, like I said, with that bad offense. Lakers were at 42%. So it was close there. Pelicans, not a great night overall from three again. 8 of 31. They in that four-game winning streak when Jrue came back, they were shooting incredibly well from deep. That's kind of, and that was a, you know, you would think maybe they regressed to the mean and they got to where they should be. And then you realize they were probably shooting a little too well for what they are. Solomon Hill just, you know, they signed him thinking he'd be this great corner three-point shooter. Just hasn't worked out. He was 0 for 3 from there tonight. Langston Galloway's hit or miss. He was 2 for 6. Their main three-point threat tonight, Jrue Holiday, 4 of 7. That's really key. That dude can just nail some wide-open pull-up. Not pull-up, sorry, spot-up catch-and-shoot threes. It's pretty great to see him on the court doing that. But so Pelicans just kind of led this one. It wasn't even close at times. Julius Randle seemed to fire up Anthony Davis. They were jawing. It was Julius Randle was talking some trash to him. I was sitting pretty close tonight, and you could see he's just screaming at Davis. Davis never talked back to him, just shook his head. Anytime he scored on Randle, which he seemed to enjoy doing. I don't know what it is with Davis against former Kentucky players. Think about how he absolutely destroys Karl Anthony Towns. Randle, he wanted to do the same thing too, and he put the boots to him medium style tonight, let's say, and really went at him. So Davis finished the night with 41 points, 16 rebounds. I'm watching SportsCenter. I've got it on in the background right now. They just threw a stat up. This season, Davis has three games of 40 points and 15-plus rebounds. The rest of the NBA combined, zero. That's how good this dude is playing. He got just enough help. Not really just enough. The Lakers weren't really a threat. They came out kind of flat tonight from his teammates and Jrue Holiday, scoring 22 points, dishing out 5 assists. Again, the big thing was him and his shooting. Going 4 of 7 from 3 for him is huge. Pelicans need to get some better three-point shooting, whether it's people step up or maybe they make a trade at midseason. Solomon Hill's not cutting it. They lost Dante Cunningham, who not scoring a ton for the Pelicans, but was doing pretty well from 3, hitting a career high from there. You know, and again, like I said, Langston Galloway is going to be iffy. Buddy Hield just... I don't know what it is. I was talking to Brett Martell of the AP before the game, and we think it's a mental thing with Hield right now. And I'm sorry I'm going all over the place with topics here. But Buddy, if you look at it, most of his shots are wide open, and he's missing short, long. He's airballed a few, which has been pretty bad. It's got to be a mental thing and just finding his shot. If it was a form issue, he'd be missing kind of the same way, and then maybe they could correct it. That isn't what's been happening with him anyway, but... those are the guys who led the game. It was Davis and Holiday doing what they do. Holiday got the start tonight. I thought that was a bit of an odd choice, but this shows why Alvin Gentry's a head coach and I'm not. Lakers bench, I talked about it yesterday. Really, really good. They had a net rating of above 15 for that bench unit, the all bench unit. And I was worried maybe they come in, the Pelicans keep it close with their starters, and then that Lakers light it up bench unit comes in and takes over the game and pulls away from the Pelicans. So starting Holiday seems like a bit of a counterintuitive move, let's say, whereas, maybe keep him off the bench to kind of stem the run the Lakers bench unit might go on. But hey, starting Holiday and Frazier in the same backcourt, and they go out and they light it up and pull out to an early lead. And just bury the Lakers from the get-go. They had no chance after that, more or less. Some notes for the Lakers was D'Angelo Russell didn't play. Nick Young exited the game early. He's got to get an MRI in his knee. It looked like he was really hurt, was on the ground for a little bit. Kind of scary to see. He's always a fun guy to watch, just a gunner who wants to shoot. Swaggy P. This wasn't a full-strength Lakers team. But again, the Pelicans killed him by 17 points, so... Even with those two guys, I don't know if that would have been enough necessarily to turn the game around. But that is them losing a lot of points. But hey, take the win while you can, right? So that backcourt, I want to talk a little bit about it, of Jrue Holiday and Tim Frazier. And when it looked like Jrue was going to start, you had to figure Etuan Moore was going to be the guard with him and Frazier was going to come off the bench. And then they announced the starting lineups and you see it's Frazier, the former starting point guard. Still kind of a starter and maybe not necessarily the starting point guard. But that backcourt, when you would see it played early on in the season, when it sounded like Holiday was going to come back, figured they wouldn't do quite well together. But we've been proven kind of wrong on that. And while having two point guards and two creators isn't necessarily ideal with Anthony Davis because he can do so much by himself, it's working right now in kind of a weird way. And you got to see how they kind of complement each other in a better way than maybe we thought. And it's really dependent on Tim Frazier shooting well from three, which is hit or miss at times. He shot well kind of recently. He was 0 for 2 tonight. But overall, that backcourt's been working. So you have Holiday as the main ball handler, your pick and roll guard, the guy who Davis is going to set the screen for. He'll come around off of it and either pick out an outlet pass or try and get it to Davis on the roll. As I've talked about, Frazier doesn't do a great job in the pick and roll, but he creates otherwise by probing this defense. He takes a dribble or two in, sees what's there. He has a very good court vision. He can pick out other cutters. He can pick out the open man across court. He does that really well. So if, you know, Holiday gets in trouble, there's no open three-point shooter, let's say, he can pass the ball to Frazier, who creates on the other end, the other side of the court, which at that point is going to be the weak side. All of a sudden, this defense has to shift and adjust, and you still have Davis in the middle where Frazier's been getting him the ball. It's been working pretty well. I don't know if this is sustainable long-term as a backcourt, but I don't hate it right now, and I thought I really would. I'll be honest with that. Frazier needs to hit his three-point shots to do that, because if he's not spacing the court, it's going to muck things up for Anthony Davis down low, and you need to have Anthony Davis in space. You saw what he can do. If you get him the ball, he can put it on the ground and dribble to the hoop and score on a finger roll. He can score on a dunk, whatever it might be. He's very good when he has some space. Remember, he was a guard growing up, and then he had that growth spurt that put him to the size he is now. But he still has, he's probably the most fluid, athletic, quick big man in the league. He can put it on the ground like a guard and score off the pick and roll from the top of the three-point line by dribbling. That's not something a lot of big men can do. Pairing him with two creators like that allows him to score in different ways. Maybe you get him an entry pass. Maybe you hit him on the pick and roll. Maybe he's just straight darting down the lane, not off of a screen, because his man lost him a little bit. And it's working pretty well right now. That's one of the reasons that this Pelicans team raced out to such a big lead. You had Holiday creating, forcing the defense to move, and having those two guys out there, it really does lead to more off-ball movement for the Pelicans. Yeah, they passed the ball a lot. You see some of those pretty passes going around the horn, around the perimeter, but they don't. There isn't necessarily a lot of off-ball movement. And with both of them out there, the other three guys on the court need to move a ton, because those guys are probing, they're creating, they're darting all around, and it's working for the Pelicans, and something I like to see going forward. If Frazier gets cold, maybe not what you want to do. You know, Tyreek Evans, we're going to get kind of an update on his health tomorrow. He's in New York right now visiting with doctors. I'm assuming, and this is just a guess, this is not based on any information, that he's out there to kind of get final medical clearance, being like, okay, he can play. Because he's been out for a while, he's been working very hard to get back on the court from what I've seen. He's looked good in practices, doing drills, everything like that. If he comes back, you can have him run point on the second unit. You don't necessarily need Tim Frazier there. And that gives you a little bit more freedom to use Buddy Hield, Langston Galloway, each one more, and maybe more natural roles for them. I've liked each one more this season, but as a starter, asking him to play 30 minutes a game, he needs to score more than he's doing, and it just doesn't seem that he's capable of that. But in a more reduced role, a role that he's better suited for, I think he's going to be a key player going forward, just a guy who could score when he needs to and with the second unit. It gives that unit a little bit more scoring punch too. So it's going to be interesting to see if this backcourt pairing of Holiday and Frazier keeps working. I don't hate the idea of two kind of combo guards out there. Frazier's not a combo guard. He's straight up a point guard. But Holiday's a bit of a combo guard. He can play off ball. He can play on ball. He can just be a spot up shooter, whatever you need him to do. And that lineup's working right now. It's something I'm probably going to talk about on bourbonstreetshots.com. This Friday is going to article scheduled for that day. And that backcourt, something that's kind of interesting, and we're going to see if it's sustainable going forward. I'd be remiss if I didn't mention the other guy who played incredibly well tonight in limited minutes, more than he got in the game against the Mavericks, and that's Omer Asik. 10 points in 26 minutes, got to the line a little bit, made his two free throws, grabbed 11 rebounds, four offensive ones, which was pretty big. You know, the Lakers, you can beat them by rebounding, and the Pelicans certainly did tonight. Grabbed 82% of all available defensive rebounds. And I've said all season long, they need to be above 80 if they want to be in games and winning. Their defense just isn't good enough if you're not, you know, defensive rebounding and giving up offensive rebounds and easy putbacks. And he helped that tonight. You know, again, his minutes pair fairly closely to a guy like Mozgov, who played 20 minutes, but they used Oshik more when he wasn't in there as well. Also, the Lakers do have Tariq Black, you know, who you kind of want maybe Oshik in there to take some of the pressure off of Davis as well. But he played efficient. He had the highest offensive rating on the team. Wouldn't be something you'd expect in a game where Davis scored 41 points, where Holiday had, you know, 22 points in 30 minutes of play, 29 minutes. Very good game for him. Again, proves to be a very situational player, and that's a fine way to use him. You know, he's not a guy who's going to play 30, 36 minutes anymore in the league. Use him when there's other bigs to make things easier on Davis so that Davis doesn't have to defend those guys. He does kill them on offense at times. You know, the spacing isn't there for Davis. He mucks that up tremendously. But hey, he scored on dunks tonight. He was cutting down the lane, grabbing, you know, an entry pass, a pass to him as he was cutting and dunking and making it. That's not something he normally does. He was more active, more mobile tonight than we've seen him in a while. And that's why he had such a good offensive game. And that's why his offensive rating was the highest on the team. When he does that, you can play him a ton more. If he's not moving like that off ball, trying to cut down the lane, not scoring when he's under the basket and getting it. You know, I always say, big men, you don't want them putting the ball on the ground when they catch the ball under the hoop. You catch it, you dribble, and then you go up for a shot, and it's going to get blocked a lot. And that happens to Oshik tonight. He got the ball and just jumped up with authority to try and slam it down or score. Wasn't putting the ball on the ground. That's key for him. If he can do that going forward, you can see his minutes increase. The Pelicans need it right now with Dante Cunningham out. You can see that that's hurting them a little bit. And if Oshik can take some of those minutes and you can keep Davis at the four and keep Solomon Hill then at the three, that's really going to help them going forward. That's how they might need to win certain games. And Oshik tonight proved, hey, maybe they need to play him 5 minutes more per game, 6-7 minutes more per game. That's okay. That's a significant amount. I'd be happy with that. It's not too much where he can hurt you. Kind of, you know, at least he's contributing on offense, which he really hasn't done in his tenure here. So it was nice to see that from him tonight. But overall, the Pelicans did exactly what they needed to do. They turned the ball over only 8 times, did lead to 16 points off turnovers for the Lakers. But that's not the end of the world there. Pelicans had 21 second chance points. Lakers only had 8. Remember what I said, play smarter, not harder. Only giving up 8 second chance points off offensive rebounds. That's going to do it. And it allowed them to win. Don't turn the ball over, defensive rebound. Those are keys to success for this Pelicans team. Those are going to be keys to success for any team. I'm not, you know, some genius here. But the Pelicans really need that because they struggle on offense and they struggle on defense at times. If you're not giving up second chance points, you're doing your job there. If you're not turning the ball over, at least you're probably scoring or taking shots, which isn't leading to fast break and transition points necessarily. So that's going to be one of the bigger things for them. Lakers had, 12 points off the fast break. That's okay. Pelicans will live if that's the case. So they did a good job. Just a sound overall effort tonight. They dominated this team. Nice win. Nice to see them rebound after that loss. Rebound as in played well overall. From that loss to the Mavericks, a game they really should have won. A game they could have won despite losing by 10. Here they came out, killed this team. Killed not an amazing team, not a good team, but a pretty decent team. 5 straight at home. Now they get the Clippers on Friday. I'll preview that game for you guys on Friday. Tomorrow we're going to do a mailbag. I've got people tweeting me questions. Don't forget, if you've got questions you want me to answer on the podcast, tweet at me. It's at Nola Jake, or at the podcast account. It's at Locked On Pels. Pretty easy. And I'll answer those questions tomorrow for you guys. It'll be a fun podcast. Maybe we'll get some weird ones in there, hopefully. Let's have some fun with it. We may as well. Pelicans probably still aren't making the playoffs, you guys. So thank you all for listening. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at Nola Jake on Twitter. Locked On Pels, coming to you guys 5 days a week. We're part of the Locked On Podcast Network, which is pretty fun. Don't forget, sister, brother, podcast, whatever you want to call it, Locked On Saints. Their season's still going. They have an outside chance at making the playoffs. It's worth listening to. They've got the best insight for you if you're a Saints fan on there. No one else, again, coming to you 5 days a week like they are. So definitely give it a listen. If you're a big Hoops fan overall, listen to Locked On NBA. Get a general idea of what's going on around the league. I watch a ton of basketball, a ton of NBA. I can't keep up as well as those guys are doing it. David Locke, the head of the network on there. So definitely give them a listen as well. So thank you all again for listening to Locked On Pelicans. I'm your host, Jake Madison. I'll be back with you guys tomorrow.